Well, if there was a sort of attention meter or a use meter, rather, for parts of the Bible, something that indicated when a certain passage of Scripture was more used than others, the psalm we're going to look at today would score a pretty high use in times of crisis, in times of major trauma. For example, in the days after September 11th, 2001, this psalm was heavily used again and again, especially the beginning of it and the end of it. It begins this way. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and mountains fall into the heart of the sea. And toward the end are these words. Be still and know that I am God. Good words for frightening times. Maybe you've turned to it in trouble. Maybe you've turned to it when things have gone upside down. Found it to be an assuring word in tumult. Or maybe not. Maybe this psalm isn't known to you. So let's hear it. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Only once in my life have I experienced firsthand what, tragically, thousands and thousands of people have experienced firsthand in their lives, often devastatingly and deadly. I felt the earth move under my feet. I was in a hotel in Oakland, California, and now you can see the direction I'm going with this. I was in Oakland for a pastor's meeting. It was long days of meetings, and at the end of one day, I was in my hotel room, the ground floor of a 5 or 6 story hotel. And I was just reading and winding down the day when all of a sudden it looked like the walls were moving. And my first thought was, I am way more tired than I thought. Then I saw the TV on the wall begin to shake and the whole room began to shake. Not like pictures coming off the walls. And that's when I put two and two together and bolted out of the room to the patio area near a pool, and the pool looked so strange. It looked like this huge vat of jello just jiggling. There were other people out there. They were shouting to people on the upper balconies, get down, take the stairs. By the time those people on the upper balconies got down to the patio area, it had stopped and the pool was now calm. It was the Californians around me who were assuring me, that was just a little one. It's over. But I've heard about aftershocks. I don't know much about earthquakes, but I thought, what is coming next? They said, it's safe to go back to your room, really. Don't worry. Well, it had me worried. It was really unsettling, even though it was a little one. To feel the ground beneath my feet become something that other than what I've always known it to be, solid and stable, but to feel it moving. That was alarming. I've been on sand dunes and dirt piles before, and for the earth to shift there, that's to be expected, but not a whole hotel and a concrete patio and a pool shaking like jello. Though the earth give way, the psalmist writes, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. It paints a powerful verbal picture, doesn't it? The earth shifting, mountains collapsing, water raging. It's a picture of chaos, complete disorder and confusion. And that word chaos comes from an old word meaning a chasm opening up into a complete void. Now that's a terrifying picture, isn't it? I learned the next day that that quake was just a light one. It was about 70 miles away and it registered 4.7 on the Richter scale, a light earthquake. In contrast, the earthquake that hit Haiti in 2010 was 7.0 on that same scale, which registers devastating. I talked with a woman from Haiti last week when I was waiting for a bus in Boston. She's lived in the Boston area for about 20 years, and every couple years she goes back to Haiti to check on her family. So remembering that earthquake, I asked her, "How is your family doing?" And she said, "It is still such a mess. Help is tied up in the government. Food is unpredictable. Water isn't quite stable. Everything is just so tangled up. But," she said, "God is good." And then the bus came. We didn't keep the conversation going. There is so much upheaval in this world, isn't there? Whether it's earthquakes or tyrants or health issues or job loss, whether it's large scale or very personal, we know or we know about all kinds of upheaval. The first three verses of Psalm 46 gives a powerful visual of this. Cataclysm is the word that a lot of commentators use who write about this text. Cataclysm. Other words are disaster or calamity or distress. That's how Psalm 46 begins. But as much focus as there might be on all of that, that's only in the first three verses. Look at the rest. Because then it shifts. It's a beautiful shift. There is a river, a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Psalm 46 is about the security and assurance God brings in the midst of a threatening world. It's about the assurance and security God brings in the midst of a threatening world, this world that is filled with things that are frightening and destabilized and that threaten our sense of security. And as you read it, it seems to point directly toward the city of Jerusalem, which in many ways it does. There are references to the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells, this unique, ancient city that was uniquely blessed by God in so many ways, Jerusalem. But the psalm is about so much more than just Jerusalem. Because for one thing, in verse 4, there's that mention of a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Well, there's no river anywhere nearby Jerusalem, much less in it. It's a mountaintop city in a very dry land. And despite those words in verse 5 about God being within her and she will not fall, a few centuries after the psalm was written, Jerusalem did fall. It was destroyed. Disaster came to that city and her people. So while there is reference to Jerusalem in this psalm, these words, the psalm spills out much farther than that. The city being prayed about and probably sung about in this psalm as it was originally made or written. The city is another way of talking about God's kingdom among us. The kingdom in our midst, which Jesus preached and brought about by his incarnation, by his life, death, and resurrection and ascension to heaven. Kingdom of God. So this river flowing that brings gladness, as it reads in verse 4, And this fortress city that will not fall, this place of refuge, these have everything to do with that much larger story, the sacred story of Scripture, about the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God in our midst. Where God is not remote, but God is very present. God is not at a distance watching this world flailing away in trauma. God is present. A safe, unshakable presence in our midst. Here's a psalm that speaks into life as we know it. Whether we look globally or up close and personally, at the fearful and frightening things that come our way, combined with this ongoing promise, God is with us. Just the other day, I stopped at a gas station, a small gas station where we sometimes get our car washed. And the young woman working behind that counter was talking with another guy as I came in. And I overheard her talking about how frightened she was by something that happened just the day before. I missed the details of what it was, but clearly she was unnerved. And the guy before me left, and I went up to the counter and I said, I don't know what it was, but I'm sorry to hear that you were so frightened. Then she told me this story. She said the evening before she was working at that shop alone, and a middle-aged white guy, she said, not as young as you, which I thought, okay, I like this story. But she said a middle-aged white guy came and got out of his car like he was going to pump gas. But then with his phone, he began taking pictures of the station where she was working alone. Then he got in his car and he left. And she thought, well, that's pretty weird. Then a few minutes later, he came back on foot this time and went right up to the window where she's working and began taking pictures of her and then took off. And she was thinking, robbery? Assault? What's going on? So that's when she called 911. As she was telling me this, now the day after, there was a squad car sitting nearby, and she said they'd been coming by every few minutes and occasionally coming in to check. They were doing a good job of making her feel safe. But her world was rocked. It was still shaking. It was like the psalm was in her voice. The waters roaring and foaming, mountains quaking. And I said, well, God bless you here. I hope that you continue to be safe. And I'm glad the police are out there. And she said, thanks for hearing my story. I'm doing fine. They're here. And I heard the door lock shut as I went out. You and I all have things that rock us, that shake us. They come upon us suddenly. We don't know that they're coming. Maybe it's something like that, what that young woman faced the other night. Or maybe it's something different. Maybe a diagnosis that's frightening. Or maybe a relationship that is really unsettling, or a loss of one type or another. And the grief and pain that comes with that. There's a whole array of things that can shatter our calm and our peace, like waters raging and mountains crumbling. Even if nobody can see it from the outside. Right? But there's this word from God. This assuring word about God's kingdom, God's presence being like a flowing river running through life, a river carrying cleansing and peace and assurance. Water and river imagery in Scripture is so strong and beautiful, and it comes up again and again. The psalm also describes God's kingdom as being a safe place. Of refuge and stability, a strong fortress that withstands upheavals, a place where we can just be still. We can just be still in the midst of all the roaring and quaking going on around us. That's the word that we get at the end of this psalm, where it reads, God says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. And then the writer of the psalm adds the concluding comment. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So on this Sunday called Christ the King Sunday, as we've been hearing, the other scriptures we've heard this morning, the music we've sung, and this psalm, everything points in the very same direction. that in this world where there is so much that is uncertain and so much that can be so very threatening and deadly, where power is misused and people are abused, where truth gets covered over by lies, where there are upheavals, and the future at points can look so very bleak, we are given reminders that in and amongst all that uncertainty, there is this certainty that will not change. God is with us. God is with us. It's one of the names of Jesus, Emmanuel. God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus. It's the very thing that he told his followers. I will be with you to the very end of time. I am with you. I am with you. And I am for you. Maybe today is one of those days when you're wondering about this, whether God is with you, for you, present, his kingdom holds in the midst of all of whatever is going on. Maybe for some of you, you're in an ongoing stretch of doubting this, wondering about Jesus' presence with you, wanting to see a bit more evidence of the kingdom of God in this world. Maybe you're not convinced that the kingdom of God is actually in our midst. Well, if that's where you are or somewhere anywhere near that, I hope you'll hang on to this psalm. Hope you'll hang on to it and go back to it again and again and again. Asking God to meet you in the assuring ways that this psalm describes. And even if you're not doubting all this, and you're not all spun up with angst, there is all of this that we face, all of us, stress. Stress about school, about work, about trying to get everything done, especially now as we head toward Thanksgiving and Advent and Christmas. Stress about fitting in, stress about health, stress about money, stress about whatever it is. And then add into that the everyday news and politics. We are in a very stressed culture, aren't we? It works deeply into us, into our spirits. It strains relationships, right? There are some things we can't even talk about anymore. A lot of things are on edge right now. A whole other sort of quaking and surging layers of instability. So I want to wrap this up by going to the first part of verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10. One of the best known parts of the psalm. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It's interesting. There are a couple other words that can also be accurately translated from Hebrew for that Hebrew word for be still. One of the words is simply stop. Stop. Just stop. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Just stop. When our phones keep pinging and the lists keep growing, there's a continual looming amount of things that we need to do. There's always more breaking news, and we're used to just going, going, going. But here's that word from God to us. Just stop. Just stop and know that I am God. Just stop. And know that. Another word that can accurately be translated from be still is the word relax. Relax. It means to allow ourselves the chance, to give ourselves the freedom to be less anxious, to be less on the move, less over the top about things. Relax. It almost sounds too casual, doesn't it? But it's accurate. I checked with my friend who is an Old Testament scholar. He said it fits. Relax. Because when we are able genuinely to relax, to let the lists go, to turn off the phone, to not watch the news, whatever it is we need to do, just to relax, become less anxious, less on the move. We hear and we see things differently, don't we? We react differently, and we receive things differently. God says, be still. Just stop. Relax. And know that I am God. And I will be honored among the nations. I will be honored in the earth. Know this and be still. Relax. And the writer of the psalm continues, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Here's what we heard earlier from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Jesus' words about holding everything together. All the fine-tuned stuff in our lives and the huge sweeping things going on in the whole planet. Paul wrote this about Jesus, the King of creation. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Paul and others wrote so much more about Jesus, but let's hold on to that brief phrase. He is before all things, and in Him, all things hold together. Combining these two, Psalm 46:10 and Colossians 1:17, we have this. Be still. Just stop. Relax. Know that I am God, and that I hold all things together. It's God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are invited to receive this. Not just bat it away. To receive it in our through our ears, into our brains as something to know and to believe, but also to receive into our hearts when our brains are too wrapped up with other things. To receive it in our hearts as something to be moved by. To cling to for assurance. And for hope, be still. Just stop. Relax. And know that I am God and that I hold all things together as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, in this world, in our lives, even on this very day, it can be so hard to do this. To be still. To just stop, to relax, and to know that You are God and You hold all things together. So help us. Help us to lean into this huge truth that really does hold firm. And may our lives be lived centered on You, our Lord, our King, and on every value and action and intention that gives You more exposure and greater glory. We pray all of this in Your holy name. Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand and sing together. What a